half a minute early. How's everybody today on this cool, crisp, beautiful fall day? Brother Harry, good to see you. Miss Vickers, I love that man right there. He's took me on many a mission trip around the world, different parts of the world. Okay, Danny, are you ready to get us started?
Sir.
You are ready?
I'm ready.
You don't have to yes sir me.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you in church this morning. We thank the Lord for you. We thank Him for His goodness to us. And beautiful weather out here right now. I'm loving it. It's a lot better than that 95 degrees. But we've got some stuff coming. It might not be as good. Get a little bit colder. But anyway, it's good to see y'all this morning, and we'll go ahead and get into the bulletin. Y'all can follow along, and today we've got Mike and Cindy Haley with us, and they are from Botswana, Africa, and they're over at Dan's class right now. And so Brother Haley will be back in the morning service here at 11. So he'll tell you a little bit about their work. Also, today's time change Sunday. And so I told Brother Harry back there, I said, you look bright-eyed. I said, it's that extra hour sleep that you got. And so he grinned about that. I don't know if he got an extra hour or not, but anyway, today's time change Sunday, and it'll get dark real soon this afternoon, but we thank the Lord for it. And on Tuesday, we got the Oasis Potluck. That's over in the Family Life Center at 11 o'clock, so if you're a part of that, you can look forward to that on this coming Tuesday. On Sunday, November the 12th, that's next Sunday, we're going to honor the veterans, and also we're going to have Paul Chappell from West Coast to come be with us and preach for us, so that'll be an exciting week next week. The rest of this stuff is, you can read there in the bulletin and see what's on out there past next week, and we'll go ahead and talk about our prayer request. Miss Frances Lawson is still in the hospital. They put a valve in her heart and a pacemaker, and then she had some internal bleeding, and they had to put her back in intensive care, and they had to put a stent in. So y'all keep her in your prayers. Miss Kim Brummett is still undergoing her tests and everything, and remember her as she goes through these tests and things to find out what her path forward is going to be. And of course, we're still praying for Miss Wanda Huskins and for Teresa Payne's mom. Still praying for Harold's sister and Judy Martin's sisters that are undergoing treatment. And then most of y'all know Bob Bryant. Bob's taught our men's class back here for many years now. And Bob was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And he's at Johnson City Medical Center, and they're kind of lining him up to see what they're going to do to help him. So y'all pray for him, pray for Miss Charlotte. This is a very hard thing for them now, and so we need to lift them up in prayer. So Miss Debbie Deacons is here this morning. Now, she's had a rough week too, but keep remembering her in prayer. And there's some others that are out. My wife is sick. She's got this sinus problems that come in the fall every year for her. And we miss some others that are not here, but pretty good looking crowd this morning, so glad you're here. And does anyone have any prayer requests that they'd like to be remembered? Okay. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. We'll give Brother Steve a chance to have all the time he can. So let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your love for us. We thank you for your blessings. And God, there's no way that we could know what all you've done for us, Lord. And like Mr. Cash used to say, Lord, those handfuls on purpose, Lord, that you cast down, Lord, just thank you for that. And Lord, we do pray for this day. We pray, Lord, that you will bless the Sunday school hour. God, that you'll bless the buses, the folks that have come in there, Lord. We pray, God, that you'll touch our 11 o'clock service, that you'll help Pastor as he brings the message this morning. And Father, that if there be someone here today that's never trusted you as Lord and Savior, God, we would pray today would be the day that the Holy Spirit would call in their heart and they would trust you. Lord, bless everything that goes on here, and we'll give you the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Okay, I'm going to back up just a little bit and review where we were at last week. I'm going to try to make some timeline more clear of what we're seeing happen today on the news and around the world. Ties into exactly what Christ said. I've got a lot of data. Hang on, let me pick out what I want. So if we look at a little bit of dates and history, we can back up and look at some things that happened in history and some dates that may be kind of interesting. Of course, we look at the flood, if we go B.C., that's at 2348, and the Tower of Babel was about 2311, and Abraham, 1996 to 1896 B.C. And then we see from that, the reason why I'm going that, we see he had Ishmael with Hagar, and from that he begat 12 sons, and the tribes, the Arabs in that whole part of the world was populated from that. And of course, Isaac came in 1890 B.C. So we can see because of Abraham not waiting on the Lord, we're seeing that the nation of Israel, all the Philistines and the Canaanites and on and on and on, basically came from that. Now, there are some other lines, timelines of groups of people, but if you look at the Roman Empire, ended somewhere between 426 in 400 A.D., they left Britain, and after the Roman Empire left control of that part of the world. Now, we know that a lot of people talk, and the Bible talks about this 10-nation thing that's going to form, that's going to come down against Israel. Well, if you look at the footprint of the Roman Empire, was all around, you know, the Mediterranean Sea, but everything around the whole Mediterranean was controlled by the Roman Empire. When that started falling apart, these groups of people from Ishmael started coming into power. We see Babylon and all the other nations on that peninsula, And then we see all the nations in Europe and all that started coming together after the Roman Empire let go and was defeated. Then we see that around at 610, the Quran was written. So, and it was started with all those new nations and those groups of people, and it was kind of the dark ages for the Bible, because 1,000 years later, the King James Version of 1611 was written and published. So for that 1,000-year period, the Quran was being preached. And we know that these people, some of these groups inside this are so, I don't know, they're splintered off to where they're very, they are more, I don't know how to say it nicely, but they take the Quran for every word it's in it, which we do the Bible, and they want to destroy anybody that's not believing in the Quran. Well, we have that situation now in the Middle East going on, and we can see these nations starting to form up around Israel at this time, which is nothing but exactly what Christ said. Now, I want to go back to that Matthew chapter 24. We started there in verse 1 last week. And the disciples are asking Christ, what is the sign? What tell us what these things may be? In verse 3, and he sat upon Mount Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world, or the end of this age? The age that we're in right now is the age of grace, the church age, the dispensation. Now, a lot of this information, when you start bouncing Matthew back into Revelations chapter 6, is where we're looking at a lot of information. And then the second answer here, when we get down to that, we see that Christ referenced there in verse 15, he referenced how Daniel spoke, and that's why we see that when you're teaching what's going on in Revelations, you end up back in Daniel and Ezekiel. And a lot of confusion, a lot of people don't know that the Daniel's 70 weeks that he saw. Now, when he looked forward into the future at that time, he was looking at what was going to happen to the nation of Israel. He didn't see the United States. He didn't really see the church age. He was looking at the nation of Israel. So if you go back and look at what Daniel predicted, the first 7 weeks of it was the 49 years of rebuilding Jerusalem. And then you had a 62-week period that Daniel talked about. And that was 434 years prior to the cross. Now we know that those years were pretty silent with the nation of Israel before the cross. Then we see Christ come at 30 AD. He gets crucified. And then we see the destruction of Israel 70 years after that. But that period starts the church age that we're living in right now. Daniel, this gap that we see right now, this present dispensation of the church, the age of grace that we're in, it is a period between the 69th and 70th week. Now, week is a year, of course, and the way Daniel was describing it. And then Daniel's 70th week is the tribulation period. Now, we're not going to see that. We're going to be raptured out, of course, because that is God dealing with the nation of Israel. That's what Daniel was looking at. So don't get confused about Daniel's 70th week. The 70th week is the tribulation period, and we will not be here to see that. I'm going to make that clear. And this, the gap between the Christ on the cross And when this 70th week starts, God didn't give us a time. We don't know. We know we need to see the signs. He gives us indications it's about to happen. But Daniel couldn't see it either. God just gave him the vision of what was going to happen to the nation of Israel. So now we looked at the first answer, which was, when shall these things be? In Matthew chapter 24, we're going to look there. Let me see, make sure I've not got any other data that I want to read. So we're going to look into this seven sealed book. And that book is the one that we talked about last week that God's going to hand over to Christ. And we see as John was writing in Revelations, he saw these things. So let's just read this real quick here and compare, and we'll move on down here to the first answer. Let's try to get it done today. In Matthew 24, verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Now this is the first seal that's going to be opened, okay? The book that Christ has. Now we talked about that book yesterday being the title deed to the earth, to the nation of Israel, to his people that was lost in the Garden of Eden to Satan. When Adam and Eve sinned, they not only lost the garden, but they lost their right to have the title deed to the land. Satan was in the middle of everything, especially in the nation of Israel, because the nation of Israel would sin, and then God would turn them over to servitude, and then they would cry out to God, and then they would be saved. And it went through those cycles over and over in the Old Testament. So we see that the nation of Israel suffered because of that sin. We all suffered. And when Christ came to the cross, that was fixed. For me, you and I to accept Christ and what he did on the cross and that shed blood, God accepted that sacrifice. We look in the Old Testament, they did all the tabernacle and all the animal sacrifices, and the blood was just a shadow of what Christ was going to do on the cross. So when Christ died on the cross, and prior to that we didn't have the Holy Spirit fully engaged, some of the Old Testament prophets and men, the Holy Spirit would come and go and speak to them. Now we have the Holy Spirit. It is a promise of the inheritance that we have, that God has given us because of that. Let me see here if I've got some verses here about that. No, don't let me go there, because I'm going to run out of time if I keep going off let's look real quick here at a couple of verses. You don't have to turn there. In Ephesians chapter 1. And it says that in verse 12, that we should be to the praise and the glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed and were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's us. Which is in earnest. You know what earnest is. If you've ever bought a house, anything like that, you know, you put down earnest. You put down $1,000 or whatever. And that's saying, I'm going to give you this, but later on we're going to pay the rest of it. So God was saying the same thing, which is in earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. The redemption of the purchased possession. Have you ever considered yourself a purchased possession? If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, and he shed that blood for you, you are a redeemed, purchased possession of God unto the praise of his glory. Which is the earnest. So it means of our inheritance. So what is our inheritance? Our inheritance is We're going to be raptured before the seven-year tribulation, before the 70th week of Daniel. We'll be in heaven. Marriage Supper of the Lamb will be at the judgment seat of Christ first. Marriage Supper of the Lamb, and after that, we're going to come back with Christ, and he's going to set things right on this earth. Then we go into the millennial reign, and then we go into the future forever with God. Of course, there's a bunch of judgments happen. Now, we can talk about judgments a little bit. And we can look that God's, we've done lessons on the judgment before. And you can take each judgment and look at it. The first judgment is the sin of the believers on the cross. That's the first one. Then we start that church age, which we're in right now. And the second judgment will be the believers in heaven, the judgment seat of Christ. We'll all stand before Christ and answer for what we've done for God, what we've done for mankind. What have we stood and put our hands up and said, God, use me somehow to further the gospel. That's exactly what God wants us to do. It's what we should be doing. And then judgment number three is the seven-year tribulation, dealing with the nation of Israel through that seven-year tribulation. And then after that, Christ comes back at the beginning of the thousand-year reign, and we see judgment number four, the nations, the sheep and the goats, and Satan is cast into the lake of fire, and then he's loosed there at the end of that thousand-year reign. Then the fifth judgment is the judgment of the wicked at the great white throne judgment. So all that's in the future, all these judgments. The only judgment we've seen right now is the first judgment, and that was the judgment for your sins. Christ died. So that kind of takes care of that. Now, let's go back and look at where we're at. That verse right there said, the earnest for our inheritance. So our inheritance is what we're looking at. And that's what Christ, that's what John saw here in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And I saw the Lamb open up one of the seals. And I heard it was, were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. Now, this is not the white horse. Satan wants people to look at him and think, oh, this must be who the Bible said it was. It's a false prophet. Satan himself, or one of his, riding this white horse, and he that sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given, a crown. Now, if you go forward and look at the end of the seven-year tribulation, it talks about Christ riding back on a horse with many crowns and a sword that comes out of his mouth to defeat Satan's armies, or the armies of the world at that time. Now, are we seeing, good question, are we seeing what's going on in the Middle East to starting to form this alliance around the nation of Israel with these armies? Could it be now? Could it be? I don't know. God doesn't tell us the time. But folks, if that don't wake you up and think that this thing is nearer than it's ever been, That's a fair statement to say it's nearer than it's ever been. And it'll be that way tomorrow. It'll be nearer than it's ever been. But there's so many signs of what's going on in the Middle East right now, in that part of the world, in the whole world. Did you ever think you'd see the United States and people protesting the way they are for standing up for someone that's murdered people? And done what they did with children, and it's just so ugly you don't even want to talk about it. But we've got groups of a generation that's standing up saying, I'm for that. I'm on their side. Get rid of Israel. The Bible talks about nations against nations. We'll read that here again in a minute. So in the and I saw and okay, the white horse, we stopped right there. I'm sorry, I get off on rabbit trails. And I saw and behold the white horse, and he that sat upon it had a bow and a crown, and was given unto him, and went forth conquering and conquer and to conquer. Okay, then let's go back to Matthew. And here we see we've already moved to the second seal in this book. This book's a scroll. It's got seven seals. It's all rolled up. And as God unrolls those, he breaks the first seal and then rolls it down, reads it, and then breaks the second seal. And this book, like I talked last week, is the title deed. When John saw him stand up and they said, "Who's going to read the book?" We read that last week. And John was upset because he seen no man that could do it. And then through the glory of the throne and all the beasts and all the elders sitting around the throne, and the glory was, John couldn't see through that glory. And all of a sudden he sees somebody stand up, and the angel said, that is the Lion of Judah right there. That's a new title for him at that point, because he's been our Savior up to then. Now he's going to be the Lion of Judah. He's going to be the Lion that comes back at the end of the 7-year tribulation period for the nation of Israel and take care of business. He's going to be a Lion for the nation of Israel. So he sees Christ stand up and takes the scroll. God hands him the scroll, and he has the right. He is the man, the God-man that was sent by God, his own son, the inheritance, the lineage, all that's in the Bible. He has all that. So he has the right to open this book up. In the second seal, and it says, and we shall hear wars and rumors of wars. This is Matthew 24:6. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. This is Christ talking on all of that discourse. But the end is not yet. So we've got to see these things. In Revelations it says in 6:3, and when it opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And verse 4 says, and there went out another horse, which was red, and the power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. Have we ever seen a time? I know some went through World War II. Some went through Vietnam. And we thought those days, and those World War II was terrible all over the Europe theater in the Pacific. But here we're going to see that peace taken from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto them a great sword. I mean, what does all that mean? Are they going to kill one another? Are we going to see these radicals? They're doing it now there in Israel. And to Palestine and to Israel, both the people are losing people right and left. Are we going to start seeing it in this great country? From what you're seeing in the streets, it could happen easy. And verse 7 in Matthew says, 24, for nations shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Now that nations there is could be nationalities, also translated to nationalities. And there shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. They're talking about right now over in the that there in Israel that some of these people don't have food. I was in the Ukraine with Brother Harry a few years back. It was a beautiful country and lots of food, but now we see with that war going on, there's people starving to death. So we see that Christ is telling at this point what exactly is going to happen and compared to Revelation 6. And now we move on to the third seal, famines. In Matthew chapter 24:7, it says, "For nations shall rise against nations, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places." Revelation 6:5-6 says, "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him with a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine.'" It just on and on it goes. So let's move on to the fourth seal. Here we have Christ opening up these seals now. In Matthew 24, verse 7, it says, well, we just read that. And that applies to the fourth seal also. Pestilence and death, where it says that. In Revelation 6:7, "And when he had opened the fourth seal, he heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And he looked, there was a pale horse, and the name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him with him, and the power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth." I mean, this stuff's going to happen in places on the earth before we are raptured, because we've not got to the rapture yet. And then we look at martyrdom, the fifth seal. In Matthew 24:9-13, it says, "And then there shall be delivered up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Don't we see that today? People hating Israel? And how long is it going to fall out on us here in East Tennessee, in this free part of the world, where people are going to stand up and say, "We hate Christians"? Folks, this leading up to what's going on, we are so close. I just want you to understand how close we are, that in application for this, it's hard to apply all this. But one thing we can apply is we need to make sure our loved ones are saved. We need to make sure our children, our grandchildren, our friends, anybody that we know, we need to tell them it's time. Things are coming to an end. When? We're not sure. But all the evidence is pointing that way. We've got people waking up in churches all over. Levi's got people coming to church in England. It's amazing. He's starting to see baptisms every week, people getting saved every week, new people showing up every week. Just like our church is growing, his is growing. All the churches in England are growing that Levi and them are associated with. The basic, and they preach nothing but what's in God's Word, the gospel, the truth, that Jesus died for their sins, that there's nothing they can do to earn it or get it or keep it. It's all what Christ did on the cross. I mean, it's so easy to preach. And all of us here have the ability, it's so easy for us to take a Bible and show somebody. Shouldn't we be doing that with our loved ones, at least with our loved ones, our cousins, people that we know? And Revelation says there in chapter 6, verse 9, "And when they had opened the fifth seal, they saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for their testimony, which they held." People getting killed because of what they believe. I never thought in my lifetime I'd see this kind of stuff. Israel, these people are getting killed for what they believe. Because another group believes that their religion tells them to kill them. Isn't that wickedness let loose? From a book that was written in 610 AD? In verse 10 there in Matthew says, And then shall many be offered, and they shall betray one another, and they shall hate one another. Man, you see this stuff on the news? And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because it just, you know, we have, because of the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And we see all this happening, and let's go back to Revelations. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And the white robes was given unto every one of them. This is talking about the martyrs. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until the fellow servants also of their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So it's talking about more people getting killed because of what they believe. For a little season. Now, how long is that little season? We don't know. But they see, okay, let's go to verse 14 in Matthew, and here the gospel is now being preached at this point. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, and all the world of the witness unto all the nations, and they shall be no end come. So now we see the gospel being preached. In Acts 6:24 it says, 6:20, I'm sorry, well, yeah. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. Anything we do, we can't do within ourselves. God gives us ability. And I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace of God. Have you received that? If you're saved, you've got that ability. You've got the Holy Spirit dwelling within you richly. Are you grieving the Holy Spirit? Are we using Him to finish our course with joy? I want to finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, I think back at what I've done over the last 40 years with God's help. I thank the Lord that I got in a little independent Baptist church in West Virginia and was serving when I didn't know enough to know. I was just an old creek boy playing in the coal mine business. But my family and I got in a church. My babies all are saved and going to heaven. Praise the Lord. What He just did in my life, because it says I received it of the Lord Jesus. I received it. You've received it. A lot of you have served many, many years in the bus ministry or teaching or whatever in this church. I only got 1 minute left, so I'm not going to start on the second answer yet. The second question was, what shall be the sign of thy coming? We'll start right there next week. I've only got a minute left. So to apply all this, I mean, that's a lot of information I just give you. If you got a question about it, let me know. I'll preach you some stuff out or give you something. I've got piles of data here. I get going on this stuff and I start digging and printing stuff out. God's good, folks, all the time. And even though all this bad stuff's going, God's still good all the time. Praise His name. He's never bad. He's always good. The blood's always good. It saves us then and now and into the future. It lasts forever. Think about that. Forever. Praise the Lord for what He's doing and what He's going to do. Trust Him. We don't have to worry about all this crazy stuff, but it is telling us something. We better be ready. Our loved ones better be ready, because we could, in a blink of an eye, it tells us, in a twinkling of an eye, we could be standing at the right hand of God. And the next thing is the judgment seat of Christ for us. And the next thing for the nation of Israel is the 7-year tribulation period. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we love You and thank You. God, thank You so much. So much, Lord, for the salvation that You gave me as a 13-year-old boy in a little bitty church in a little bitty railroad town. You passed by me and You give me the understanding that I needed to be saved. Lord, we thank You. I thank You for Your salvation. Now, Lord, give us a good day here in church. Touch our pastor. Help him to speak the words that will change hearts, save lives through the Word. God, we love You. Thank You for another good Sunday day. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you, guys.